So this morning I'll be talking about how to parameterize APEX, which is a hydrologic water quality model, to support entity. Entity is an interface. So it is a framework that we are developing to enable the parameterization of those two models. One thing I wanted to point out, probably I can just go back here, is how do I go back here? Okay, so the intent is that this is a joint effort by different USDA agencies and also working together with the University of Towson State University out in Stephenville, Texas. So I'll talk about entity and APEX a little bit, and why parameterization and validation is essential, specifically for this particular project, and really talk about the framework, and it's not going to be something else that you have not known. The approach that we used in the presentation of that, and an example on how that framework can be used. So an entity is a user-friendly interface, tool that provides users with an opportunity to compare a baseline together with an alternative practice. It was developed out in Tarleton to working together with the USDA. But the intent is that you don't have to have experience in modeling. You can go to your area of interest and just pick an area of interest using a Google map, and you can just be able to run the model. The engine behind that is APEX, so which I've already really described. APEX is of course an extension of EPIC model, which is environmental policy and integrated climate model. So really the connection between APEX and entity is the aspect of providing parameter values for the many parameters that are existing, which are used to simulate different processes in APEX, in APEX model. So if you can get the correct parameters filled in and populated, and then you're parameterized, the intent is really to be able to create then a database of these parameters for the different parts of the country in different regions, so that when the farmers and anybody else who doesn't really know modeling, they can use the parameters which have been vetted, and they are kind of reasonable to represent the processes that are going on. So it's very important also to make sure that we look at the different processes that are going on to make sure that they are the equations are and the parameter values are representing the different processes that are going on, as well as also look at the outputs that we're getting. Are they reasonable? So that's really what we're doing. As our because it's easy to be able just to apply entity. It has been tested in different local regions, parts of the country. But the big question here has been how trustworthy are those results that we are getting from there. So as a result of that, USDA then provided some funds for us to be able to work on developing a framework to ensure that we have a credible, clearly understood approach, and this is not going to be very, you know, complicated, but what really that the intent is then to be able just to increase the credibility of the work that is going on the scenario results. But most importantly, to have enhanced documentation and transparency of entity applications, which will increase, enable others to audit, reconstruct, and repeat and reproduce the same parameterization approaches that have been done and the results that can be obtained as well. So the framework, really what we did, is not something else that we came up from, you know, somewhere else. We did some literature review of modeling work that has already been done. This morning we have already talked about that. And around the world there are very many people who have worked on different models. And they're just really to find out what are the what is the information that is there about parameterization and validation, specifically here for APEX and the entity. The intent then will be able to help us just to be able to summarize this framework, which is coming up from that one. And that will also just include part of the author's modeling experience as well. But this framework is essentially just a better documentation of the different phases of model simulation. Okay, well, just to look at this, it just looks obvious, you know, clear definition of the purpose of the study area, ensuring that the proper study site is represented in the model, and then you clearly write the methods and the approaches you use to be able to parameterize and validate which approach was used. And then also making sure that we validated the scenario parameters. For instance, if you're comparing to the baseline and the, let's say, a tile drainage alternative, how reliable are those results that we can be able to get of the differences as well. But the most important aspect of this is to make sure that we have detailed documentation and reporting. And I can tell you, as much as they look all very simple and straightforward, we did a literature review, and pretty much for most of the papers, they could either be very good and do a good job in one of these different phases, but then some of the information is not provided in others. It's very hard to be able to take two papers of this same model and they just try to really to compare the results in the different regions, regions, because not much information is provided for each one of those phases. So I'm just going to move you up pretty quickly. In this step, I'm not going to talk about that. Parameterization, really, when you just parameterization is the idea of populating the parameters, especially in this particular case, we are looking at the most sensitive parameters. If you have to 150 parameters, some of them are not sensitive, and so you can just be able to take the default values. But for the most sensitive parameters, depending on the particular process that you're focusing on, what are the sources of those parameter values? And they can be from direct measurements, or they can be obtained from literature, or you can just do a calibration of the model so that you can optimize and get the better parameters to minimize the uncertainty. And then also, of course, when you're thinking about the validation, in this particular case, we're looking at both the quality of the data in terms of availability for the different processes that you're focusing on, as well as how much trust, how much uncertainty is there in that measured data. So we need to be able to quantify that if we can, and if we don't know, we need to be able to discuss that one, how credible the source of the data we have. So in this particular case, I'm just going to be able to mention here an example of a watershed in central Ohio that we utilized to show an example of how much information and detail that is needed. In this particular case, of course, this, you have to describe well the soil parameters, the source of the input soil data sets. We have a watershed that is actually poorly drained, and because it's poorly drained because of the soils that we have there, which are two predominant ones, we have tile drainage so that you can be able to drain the water and you can be able to grow the crops. In this particular case, it is corn soy crop rotation that is the main type of land use. I'm just moving very quickly, but just in the write-up, just we have a whole lot more described there. Then we describe how we delineated and set up the model. In this particular case, we use WinApex. There are different interfaces. There's ArcApex as well. But we actually also worked with the people who are working within the watershed, and they give us actual information on the different land use and management that is happening in those different fields. So we came up with 19 sub-areas. So I'm just going to move quickly and just for it say that we have provided the sources of our information if somebody really wanted to be able to see where we got it from. And for the land use, we got it just from the one of the co-authors actually works in that particular watershed. So we have very detailed information that we can just be able to get for that site. Then we performed sensitivity analysis and as well as uncertainty analysis. We used Morris method and Sobol method. I'm not going to go into all the details, but APEX has different categories of the parameters. We have the control file, and then we have the PAM files, and these two control and PAM files, those are, how can I just say, they're global parameters. In other words, you know, the same parameters are just applied for the whole watershed in this case. And then you have sub-area parameters, which are very specific to the field particular, to the particular field. So I'm not going to go into the details of this, but just we did the sensitivity analysis, and this one we were running on a similar platform using Monte Carlo filtering. Those red parameters here are the ones which were determined to be most sensitive, and the others were kept at the default values. This is for the PAM files and the control files. They were only four out of the many that were there. For the sub-area files, actually, then we just went ahead and determined parameter values that were produced that were able to give a model that gave the best NASAT cliff in this particular case. And we kept them constant. After that, you know, we were able then just to focus on the 22 parameters out of the many. The key thing here, just without me explaining here, is to then make sure that we focus on a way of minimizing uncertainty on those most sensitive parameters. In this particular case, we are considering the flow. In this particular case, 46 models were able to meet the criteria here that we had of percent bias, NASAT cliff, as well as the graphical method, and looking at the batches, the water batches, ET, drainage, as well as infiltration. 46 for monthly, at a monthly time step, and 8 at an annual time step, and only one unique solution for daily. It's very important. Almost done. Okay, so let me just go. That helps us, just based on the models that met the criteria, actually we were able to construct the range of parameter values for the most sensitive parameters. And then we were also able to compute the confidence interval and the uncertainty range on the output, in this particular case, water yield. So, I think just I'm going to be able just to get a summary. The key thing is that there are obvious things that we all just know that we need to do, but we need to do a better documentation of those different processes. And when you just can give this information to somebody else, they should be able to reproduce the same results. So by doing that, we'll be able to generate parameters for the different regions, and therefore when some farmer goes and they just can be able to pick an area of interest, at least some of the parameters have been vetted in one way or the other. And just the intent is to minimize uncertainty, also increase the credibility.